You know, this sermon has been on my mind for quite some time. And it was something that was really kind of shocking to me as I started to study this. And I really believe that there is, you could say, special insight or special meaning when the first time something's mentioned in the Scriptures, and also when something is mentioned for the last time in the Scriptures. You know, I believe this is especially true with regards to the words that Jesus spoke before his death and also after his resurrection, before his ascension. So the sermon today, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to examine the last words of Jesus. The words before he died, and the words before his final ascension. And we're going to look at these words in chronological order of how they fall in the Scriptures. And I really believe that we're going to find some incredible encouragement in these words. We're going to also find some incredible faith in these words. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And I think that would certainly apply to the words of Jesus as well. So we're going to begin this morning in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. Matthew 27, 46. About the ninth hour, which we all understand would be approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I'm thinking about this cry from Jesus. I think there's several things that would come to mind. The first would be, if we looked at this text without looking anywhere else in the Scriptures, it's almost like Jesus was surprised. That this was an outcry of surprise, wouldn't it? My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, we all know that Jesus had a bitter cup to swallow, didn't he? It was given to him from his Father. Jesus knew many things that he would have to go through. He knew that he would be betrayed. He knew that he would have to suffer and die. Specific things. He knew that there would be a spear piercing his side. But this, maybe this part of it, he didn't know before. You know, there are some things, in particular one thing, that it says the Father never revealed to Jesus. We know one of them is over in Mark chapter 13. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples. You know, I find it amusing that there's one thing that's been constant down through the ages, hasn't there? What do Christ's disciples always ask? How long, O Lord? How long until you send your Son? When's this going to end? When are we going to be redeemed? Tell us when the end is. Has that been on your mind? No, it's been on mine. When is the end going to come? Well, the same answer is given here in Mark chapter 13, verse 32 by Jesus. But of that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angel in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So here in this specific instance right here, is something that God had chosen not to reveal to His Son, Jesus. You know, quite possibly the one we're talking about is another instance. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why do I feel this separation that I've never felt before? Maybe at least in a temporary sense. And we know that Jesus had to take on the sins of the entire world. Your sins, my sins, everyone that's ever lived. And He had to suffer and die as the perfect sacrificial lamb of God. Maybe part of His suffering, at least in a temporary sense, was that feeling of separation from God. You know, a second one? It's, my God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe that was a question for us. More so than Jesus. Why? Why had the Father forsaken Jesus? His own Son? At least temporarily. Well, maybe that's for you and I to think about. Just maybe it's to get you and I to have God's view on just how awful, how hideous, how dark sin really is. You know, we people in the Church of God, we can say those words. At times we even feel it's from the heart, don't we? But as human beings, we don't consistently view sin, especially our own sins, I think the way that God does. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a minor issue. Not at all. Sin is a black and awful and hideous and terrible thing. Horrible. Jesus took on the sins of all of mankind. It says over in Corinthians, He became sin. Or at least the sin offering for us. And it seems like for just a moment, for just a brief moment, God could not even look on Him because He took on the sins of the world. He had to turn away. He had something for us to consider. Do we view sin the same way that God does? Do we think about what the cost was for removing that sin? You know, at Easter time, we often read 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. I won't turn there, but talks about how we were bought. We were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. It was a high cost. It was an expensive item, you might say. It's a high cost for removing sin from the presence or even the memory of God. It required the life and the death of His only beloved Son. And it required Him, even briefly or temporarily, turning away from Him. I think in some ways, that's what Jesus was expressing here. My God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Here's another thing we consider. That is, I think many of you, if you know the Scriptures well, it's not the first time that these words appear in your Bible. Because, actually, what Jesus is doing here, He's quoting a Scripture. The Scripture is Psalm chapter 22 and verse 1. You know, we're going to go back there and look. And I really believe that as Jesus was hanging there on the cross and dying, the Scriptures were on His mind. It's evident from this quote from Psalm 22. And I believe He wasn't just thinking about Psalm 22, but He was also thinking about Psalm 23 that we read this morning. They're kind of a couplet, pair, you might say, these two psalms. And I believe that He was meditating on these thoughts. We'll see what we read in Matthew 27 was a quote from Psalm 22:1. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I believe Jesus, as He hung there, He was so ingrained in the Scriptures that these things were on His mind. You know, maybe He didn't utter the others out loud. But I want you to think about this. Not only does Psalm 22:1 start out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is a cry of what? Abandonment. Let's look at Psalm 22:21. It says, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Now, if you'll remember, what did He say to Judas the night before? What you do, do it quickly. Judas went out, basically sold the Son of Man for a few pieces of silver. But look at the last part. Look closely at the last part of verse 21. You have answered me. See, there's a positive assertion of faith in that last statement. You have answered me. He wasn't totally abandoned, was He? There was maybe a moment of abandonment. It doesn't spell out how long. But if we look at, you might say, verse 21a, in 21b, let's continue in verse 22. He says, I will tell your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Now, if Jesus were thinking these things as he hung on the cross, he was also looking forward to the resurrection, wasn't he? He was looking past these things, the positive things after his resurrection, after his 3 days and three nights in the grave, when he would be resurrected, eventually ascend to his Father, where he is sitting at the right hand of this very moment. When he would do his job as the high priest, as the head of the church. And he's thinking about that wonderful future fulfillment of God's incredible plan. Then in verse 23, he says, "You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel." Verse 24, he says, "For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted." Who was more afflicted at that moment? "Nor has he hidden his face from him." You know, in a permanent sense. You know, Jesus was not completely on his own strength to drink from this cup that God had given him. I don't know if he could have done it on his own. He needed that help, that strength from God. Because he represented all of the sins. But he wasn't totally abandoned. Because if we read the rest of verse 24, it says, "But when he cried to him for help, he heard." I believe those words were in Jesus' mind. Let's continue. Look in Psalm 23. You know, how many times have you heard Psalm 23 at funerals when somebody's near death? Have you ever thought for a moment that this psalm was for Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Jump to verse 4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What servant of God had ever been in a deeper, darker valley at that time than Jesus? But he says, "I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So yes, there was a cry of abandonment. But there's also a confident assurance here of God's help and that he would see Jesus through to the end. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." His enemies were all around him. The Roman soldiers at the foot of the cross, doing whatever they could to maximize his suffering. It says, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Verse 6, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." His thoughts are on eternity. Beyond all this physical suffering, all beyond all the things that he would have to face. He was looking into eternity here. Now the second thing of these last four things that Jesus is recorded as having said is found in John chapter 19, verse 28. You know, I think by looking at these last things he said, an overall point is going to come out, both individually and collectively. John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture. Now, before we get to his quote, I want you to notice here. To fulfill the Scripture. What was on Jesus' mind? Even to the very end, what was on his mind? That every single solitary detail of God's will would be fulfilled. Every detail that's recorded in the Scriptures would be fulfilled just as it was written. You know, the perfection of Scripture. He knew it. It's almost now that he had a checklist of things that had to be fulfilled before he died. He says, "I thirst." So he utters the words, "I thirst." This is a prophetic statement from Jesus here. Part of his suffering. He'd lost an enormous amount of blood. He was hanging there in the heat of the day, suffering. I'm sure his thirst was unbelievable. His son would have been terrible. And he says, "I thirst." You know, being thirsty, losing that blood, all the pain, it's just another aspect of his suffering. But what did the Roman soldiers do? Well, the Scriptures tell us, rather than giving him water, dipped a sponge down in this sour wine, kind of a vinegary concoction, you might say. When they placed it to his bleeding and dry lips, his suffering increased. And two verses later, over in verse 30, we find the third thing that Jesus says. It says, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.'" He's speaking again here, perhaps to himself, to those gathered around the cross. He says, "It is finished." He had completed that bitter cup that God had gave him to drink. The fourth and final of these last four statements is back in Luke chapter 23, in verse 46. And Jesus crying out with a loud voice. This would have used up the last little bit of human strength that he had to be in that physical shape, to cry out with a loud voice. But it says he cried out with a loud voice. Then he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So the last four things that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And what do you notice about these last four things that Jesus said? Does anything pop out to you? Well, the first and last thing he said are prayers to God. They enveloped or framed words to himself or other people. He framed those with prayers to God. You know, do we envelope or frame what we do with prayers to God? Do we, in effect, pray without ceasing? Or, on the other hand, do we in our difficult times, our difficult trials, do we focus on ourselves, on our own strengths, on our own resources, our own intelligence? Or do we focus on God, on His strength to get us through a very difficult time we may be having? Jesus focused on God. He proceeded and he followed his last statements before his death with prayers to his Father. So the way to endure any trial, in a godly manner, is to envelop our lives in prayer. God will give us the strength we need, even when it seems He's abandoned us. He will give us the strength to get through it. And if we do this, we can get through anything that this world can throw at us at any time. And next week, we're going to pick up the story after Jesus' resurrection, but before his ascension. And we're going to see the greatest comfort that's ever been given by our Lord and our High Priest Jesus himself. As we prepare this morning for communion, I want us to focus on those last few hours of Jesus' life to understand the suffering that he went through. that had to take place so that we could be here this morning to drink from the cup of forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for suffering, for dying in my behalf. Amen.